not that good reading in English. And maybe it's because they're the words of the translator and not my own words. I try to do it, but I don't want the listeners' ears to bleed. So I'm going to read the first chapter of Hurricane Season in Spanish. Uno. Llegaron al canal por la brecha que sube del río, con las ondas prestas para la batalla y los ojos entornados, cosidos casi en el fulgor del mediodía. Eran cinco, y su líder, el único que llevaba traje de baño, una troza colorada que ardía entre las matas sedientas del cañaveral enano de principios de mayo. El resto de la tropa lo seguía en calzoncillos, los cuatro calzados en botines de fango, los cuatro cargando por turnos el palde de piedras menudas que aquella misma mañana sacaron del río, los cuatro ceñudos y fieros, y tan dispuestos a inmolarse que ni siquiera el más pequeño de ellos se hubiera atrevido a confesar que sentía miedo, al avanzar con sigilo a la saga de sus compañeros, la liga de la resortera tensa en sus manos, el guijarro apretado en la badana de cuero, listo para descalabrar lo primero que le saliera al paso si la señal de la emboscada se hacía presente, en el chillido del vientebeo, reclutado como vigía en los árboles a sus espaldas, o en el cascabeleo de las hojas al ser apartadas con violencia, o el zumbido de las piedras al partir el aire frente a sus caras, la brisa caliente, cargada de sopilotes etéreos contra el cielo casi blanco, y de una peste que era peor que un puño de arena en la cara, un hedor que daban ganas de escupir para que no bajara las tripas, que quitaba las ganas de seguir avanzando. Pero el líder señaló el borde de la cañada, y los cinco agatas sobre la hierba seca, los cinco apiñados en un solo cuerpo, los cinco rodeados de moscas verdes reconocieron al fin lo que asomaba sobre la espuma amarilla del agua, el rostro podrido de un muerto entre los juncos y las bolsas de plástico que el viento empujaba desde la carretera, la máscara prieta que bullía en una miríada de culebras negras y sonreía. Gracias.
Even though I had the same problem as Fernanda, I always say that I'm slaughtering the translator's work. So this is the introduction to A Silent Fury, Del Bordo Mine Fire. The El Bordo Mine, located in the mining district of Pachuca Real del Monte, had 10 levels, each named for its depth in meters underground. 142, 207, 255, 305, 365, 392, 415, 445, 465, and 525. This could be reached via three different shafts, El Bordo, La Luz, and Sacramento, the latter belonging to the Santa Ana mine. The El Bordo caught fire on the morning of March 10th, 1920. At least 87 people were killed. Traces of this history are few. The Pachuca 1920-1966 case file, a handful of news story, and a metal plaque that talks about something else. The file and news stories do not simply convey the events, but are fragments of the events. They are part of the tragedy and the way its official version was imposed. In these texts, there appear both favored men who were never at risk of being so much as scratched by a prickly question, and men and women who were doomed from the outset. But there are also oral accounts given by miners and their families, and it was through this that I learned about the fire. There are at least two crónicas, one by Félix Castillo, the other by José Luis Islas, and a novel by Rodolfo Benavides. All were written years afterwards. This book, like those accounts, refuses the judicial truth that reduces this history to a file in an archive. But none of these words are mine. I reconstruct the El Bordo fire using the names, dates, and events that coincide in these accounts, insofar as coincidence is possible. And where the accounts disagree, I use what appears to be most credible. I also call attention to some of the extraordinary contradictions and omissions in sources from that period that contributed to a persistent silence. Silence is not the absence of history. It's a history hidden beneath shapes that must be deciphered.